Cleve, have you tried this experiment where you had a plant hooked up, and then you brought in maybe like a gorgeous bouquet of flowers or something, took it out, and then put in a weed, and to see what the response would be from the plant that was hooked up?
No, I really haven't done that. I think the response would be pretty much what the response would be in your own mind as to what you expect to happen, very likely. You know, my definition of a weed is perhaps a little bit unique. It's a plant that just won't listen.
That's true.
Anyway, there are a lot of those interactions, but you somehow need to automate the procedure to where you don't have the involvement of the researcher, because the plant is tuned right into that right away, and that kind of intentionality or prejudice, et cetera, could very, very much change the results.
What does this research tell you? What's happening here?
Well, it's... To me, it's as earth-shattering as it was way back in 1966 when I hooked up that first plant. There's not one thing that's occurred that's caused me to think I'm on the wrong track. It's just that there's a great reticence. It's just a big paradigm shift as far as science is concerned. There's no end of things that could be accomplished by applying this insight. Maybe I've got a tilted, you know, well, I'll tell you, when I went over to London, Lynn McTaggart had a conference in London, and I shipped one case of books over there, I think there's 64 books to a case, because it's a little bit expensive on speculation to be shipping those overseas.
Oh, sure.
And so at the end of my talk, I held the book up. It hadn't been getting much action in the bookstore. I held the book up, and I said, "Look, you see what I have in my hand? There are only 64 of these books in Europe right now, and this has everything, all the PowerPoint presentations I've been giving you are in this book. So maybe you'd be interested." At the break, there was a stampede, and they cleaned out every book, and there was a fist fight because the last person took three books, and the two that got shorted thought that was terrible. And Lynn McTaggart said she's never seen anything like that in her life, you know. So, I mean, the people are starved for that kind of information. Now, a lot of times a scientist doesn't want to purchase a book sometimes directly because it would give away their interest and they think perhaps that could work against them.
Yeah.
So Amazon.com handles the book, and they can get it on the sneak if they want to, because we sell a number of books through them, and they actually stock them now, where ordinarily they want a sale before they'll even allow you to send them books.
What's the response? Can it also be done telepathically, as opposed to, let's say, visually, that it sensed something?
Now, which is the sensor? And which...
What, yeah, well, it doesn't matter, I guess.
Okay. The word you're using is telepathic, is totally explained by primary perception.
Mm-hmm.
So, in other words, that has to be the thing that's involved. Also, the remote viewing, things of that nature, a number of these things are really tied in. I've lectured at remote viewing conferences, in fact, and tried to point out, I think the one I attended on remote viewing, this is where you're acquainted with that, aren't you?
Yes, well, very much so.
Yeah, and where I said, that was the 30th anniversary of their start of remote viewing. I said, I 60 years ago, I started this when I was interested in hypnosis. And I had a person, when I saw it, hypnosis just struck me as a thing that had so much potential. And I had this student, it was a very good subject, hypnotized. And I said, "Now, even though your body is here in the chair, I want you to take a trip." And I led him, and this would now be called remote viewing, to where the psychology professor lived. And I said, "Would you describe the building?" And I hadn't even seen it myself, so I didn't know. And anything that's going on. And this person told me that they described the building, said that the event, there were some visitors there, et cetera, and came back, and I said, and then the person sat down, and I said, "Well, okay, I'm going to do the count and wake you up." And we were trying to disprove hypnosis at the time. So he said, "See, it didn't even work. He didn't even have any memory at all of going out and getting permission from a professor in the hallway for late lights in order to study, as you had to do in prep school." And he had gone out and got that permission under the state of hypnosis, signed the thing, and later on hadn't even remembered going there at all. But then he described the things that were going on this trip that he took. And here again, this is the remote viewing. So when the psychology professor heard that in class the next day, he was really thrilled at what was going on. In fact, allowed me to teach suggestibility in the classes after that. Hypnosis and suggestibility. So it's really amazing some of the things that can be demonstrated. But again, the remote viewing would tie right into this primary perception.
Well, that tells you that what is out there in this universe, this cosmos, truly is you could be tapped into. You could become part of it.
Yes, I think so very, very much. Let's see, who is it? Ingo Swann, I believe it is. He used to be able to predict the sunspots. It took 13 minutes or something for us to see something on Earth. He would predict them ahead of time when they were going to occur, because he was doing the remote travel to the sun. To me, that's amazing. You know, that's a good example of the sunspots were of a random nature, and he was calling the shots. And here again, you know, he's an interesting guy. You know, he's visited my lab when I was back in New York a number of times.
One listener writes in and says, "I took extra care with a jade plant. It became a giant. All my other ones, I just gave it average care, and I got average jades."
Yeah. Is this what you did yourself?
No. One of our listeners.
Oh, yeah. Well, I believe that, because one of the things that doesn't require instrumentation is to take bean sprouts and to, I think people have won science fair contests quite a bit on this, and you have three bean sprouts and three pots. They all have the same light, the same conditions, same watering, etc. But one you're praising to high heaven, the middle one you're ignoring, and then you're sending negative vibes at the other. And then at the end of the period of time, you can see the difference in the growth rate, which is very, very noticeable, huge. The one that you praised was far, you know, grew far faster and more than especially the one that you sort of cursed at and neglected. And you know, this is a simple thing that's been done for science fair projects quite a bit for years ago.